Well, folks, welcome to Friday. It's September 21st, 2012, and today we have another classic repeat for you. It's broadcast number 389 in our catalog, and this one's called Happy Birthday USA, originally aired on July the 4th, 1994. So I hope you enjoy this one, and for those of you that are going to be coming to the HOT conference next week, we look forward to seeing you, and for those of you who won't be coming to the conference, don't you worry. We'll still have podcasts for you here daily. All right, enjoy. Of course, as always, the contact information in this podcast will be a little outdated since it is from 1994. So if you'd like to get a hold of us now, you can write to webmaster@hourofthetime.com to get a hold of Rob. To get a hold of Doyle, it's going to be hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And our mailing address is HOT, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925.
Lights out the hour. It is the hour of the time. Lights out for the perfect of your body, soul, and mind.
Across America and around the world, on this, the 218th birthday, the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, the birthday of the United States of America, we celebrate all across the nation. But what are we celebrating? How many people are there just for the fireworks? How many are oblivious to the founding principles upon which this nation was based? I am torn, ladies and gentlemen, between what our forefathers intended for us and what we have actually become. In the councils and the meetings of many organizations and people around this world, there's one principle that's 100% alien, absolutely contrary to what our forefathers believed and what true Americans everywhere should believe.
You are.
The unique idea of the Declaration of Independence, as penned by our forefathers, was that the recognition that people's rights are granted directly by the Creator, not by the state, and that the people then and only then grant rights to government. The concept is so simple, yet so very fundamental and far-reaching, that many cannot grasp it. There is a supreme thought that everything sprang from this thought, that it was planned to have order, and indeed it does. There are definite laws called natural laws, the laws of nature, that reflect the will of this Creator. Our forefathers said that the Creator, after bringing into existence all of the material things in the universe, then created life. After he had created life, he gave one particular species the ability to reason, to form original thought, to think, man. And that with this ability to reason, he endowed man with certain unalienable rights. That's unalienable, not inalienable. The authority is the Declaration of Independence, where it specifically states unalienable rights. And that the people give some rights to government for the mutual benefit and protection of the whole of the people. And the people can take these rights away from the government anytime that they want. Rights are not endowed upon the people by government. America's founding fathers embraced a previously unheard of political philosophy which held that people are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And this was the statement of guiding principle for the new nation, and as such had to be translated into a concrete charter for government. The Constitution of the United States of America became that charter. Other forms of government, ladies and gentlemen, past and present, rely on the state as the grantor of human rights. America's founders, however, believed that a government made up of imperfect people exercising power over other imperfect people should possess only limited powers. And through their constitution, they wished to secure the blessings of liberty for themselves and for posterity by limiting the powers of government. Through it, they delegated to government only those rights they wanted it to have, holding to themselves all powers not delegated by the Constitution. They even provided the means for controlling those powers they had granted to government. One of the greatest warnings ever issued to the people of this great nation was to stay out of the affairs of foreign nations, not to get entangled in foreign problems.
It has beaches. It has mountains. It's mysterious. It's obvious. It's hot. It's cruel. It roars.
You fancy blind fault!
It whimpers. It's real life.
Confess or we put out your eyes.
Even though it's make-believe.
I confess. I kill Papa Doc with my voodoo. Don't hit me again. Please don't hit me again.
Come to Haiti.
These were the unique American ideas. One, there's a creator. The creator endowed man with certain unalienable rights, and that we as a nation should stay away from foreign entanglements. This is the crux upon which our forefathers cast the future. The world then and the world now are two entirely different places. The ideals and principles which they gave us apply equally as well to this world as they did to theirs. Yet every day we're being told that the Constitution is an outdated, old document that does not provide for the unseen problems of a modern world that was written by doddering old men 218 years ago. However, anyone who gives any study to the Constitution, to that document, quickly can see that within the document his life. You see, our founding fathers provided that this document, the Constitution of the United States of America, can live forever. Forever. It provides within the document a method for us, the people, but only through the will of the people, through set methods outlined within the document itself, to provide for unseen problems. The fact that we have chosen most of the time not to mess with that document, not to change it, not to call constitutional conventions, and not to frivolously write amendments to that document. Many of the present amendments were not legally and constitutionally created and applied. It means that we, the people, believe that the document suffices in its form. For if it did not, we could indeed change it. In fact, we could get rid of it if we so desired. Free people, understanding the roots of our freedom and the protections put in place to prevent a government from usurping our Creator-endowed rights, have decided to leave it alone. And still, I am torn between the world that was then and the world that is now. For from my vantage point here behind this microphone, ladies and gentlemen, I look out over a nation mostly of ignorant sheeple who do not possess a copy of the Constitution of the United States, or what we celebrate today, the Declaration of Independence, nor do they know what those documents contain. They have some hazy idea about freedom of speech or separation of church and state, something that doesn't even exist and is not even mentioned within the Constitution of the United States of America. How many of us really understand how different we have become?
It's time once again to play Catch It and You Keep It. And here's your host, Bob Benson.
Hi, folks. For you newcomers to Catch It and You Keep It, here's how we play the game. I'm now standing on a balcony on the 10th floor of the CBS studios. The contestants are gathered below me in the parking lot. My assistants and I will throw prizes down to the crowd, and if they catch them, they keep them. That's all there is to it. Now let's turn on the PA system and start the fun. Can you hear me, folks? Who do we have first, Phil?
Well, Bob, our first contestant is a consulting engineer who used to play center field for his high school baseball team. Meet Mr. Ronald Hodgson of Canoga Park, California.
Well, welcome aboard, Ron, and tell me, how were you out there in center field, Ron? Did you drop many?
Oh, I've booted a few.
Well, let's hope you're in top form today, Ron, because I'm holding a 21-jewel Benrus wristwatch. How'd you like to give it a try?
You bet.
Then get ready, because here it comes! And he caught it! Take a look inside the box, Ron.
There's a watch. And money.
Yes, it's a surprise bonus of two crisp $100 bills. Now, Ron, I'm holding a lovely piece of American Tourister luggage. Would you like to try for it?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to open this suitcase, Ron, and place inside it a $500 Spiegel catalog gift certificate. Now, how do you feel?
Can I ask my wife?
Go for it, Ron. Go for it.
Well, okay. She's the boss.
It's a bit on the bulky side, so you'll have to be pretty agile.
I'll give it a try.
Ron had better be agile indeed, because what he doesn't know is that in addition to the $500 Spiegel Catalog gift certificate, the suitcase also contains not one, not two, but three solid gold bars weighing 85 pounds each. And after a 100-foot fall, this baby's going to carry quite a load.
Get ready, Ronald Hodgson of Canoga Park, California, because here it comes! I guess Ron booted another one, and I'm afraid his brand new watch got spoiled in the bargain. Moving right along, it's catch-all time, when we'll just toss merchandise over the side, and whoever catches it keeps it. Are you ready? Then here goes! Can Can you describe some of the action, Phil?
Be glad to, Bob. An elderly woman has just snagged a Sunbeam toaster and... whoops! A Hamilton Beach electric knife has come down point first, I'm afraid, on a man dressed as some sort of vegetable. I think it's a turnip. Oh, there's something. A lady was so pleased over catching a Sears completely immersible electric coffee maker that she failed to notice a plummeting Tappan gas range. Tappan, the leader in kitchen appliances since 1881. Most of the contestants managed to dodge the Amana freezer, but the year's supply of Gaines dog food certainly caused quite a stir. Three couples joined up and made a great try for the dining room set from Ventura Collection by Keller. Two or three more and they just might have...
There goes the fanfare that announces our mystery package. Remember, this package could contain anything from feathers to lead balloons. So, while the contestants get ready, Phil will let the home audience in on the secret.
Today's mystery package contains a dream house. That's right, a prefabricated golden medallion home for the ultimate in total electric living, complete with wall-to-wall carpeting and a real brick fireplace. Altogether, it weighs over 46 tons.
Are you ready? Then, here it comes! Up today's show, but nobody goes away a loser because every contestant gets a Parker Brothers Catch It and You Keep It game to play and enjoy in your own home. See you tomorrow.
Quote, let virtue, honor, the love of liberty, be the soul of this Constitution, and it will become the source of great and extensive happiness to this and future generations. Vice, ignorance, and want of vigilance will be the only enemies able to destroy it. End quote. John Jay. America's founding fathers knew that it takes more than a perfect plan of government to preserve liberty. Something else is needed, some moral principle diffused among the people to unite and strengthen the urge to peaceful observance of law. They recognized that the raw materials of a free government are people who can act morally without compulsion, who do not willfully violate the rights of others, and who love liberty enough to demand that government's power is very limited.
Once I had this whole box full of dead pigeons, whole box full, say 12, 14 pigeons, and I used to, you know, take them, you know, and play around with them, try and make them do things, stuff like, well, I'd take them up to the roof and throw them off, you see if they'd fly or something, or glide. And all they'd ever do was just fall into the street. That's all they'd ever do. That was about it.
Our founders used the word virtuous to describe such people. Defined by Webster, virtue is a conformity to a standard of right. That which is right, but whatever word is used to describe it, such a moral standard is the necessary fountainhead of a free society. Without it, chaos begins to reign, and out of chaos always comes order, order in the form of dictatorial powers. The Declaration of Independence referred to nature's God, the Creator, and the Supreme Judge of the world, and Divine Providence. Our nation's founders came together voluntarily, ladies and gentlemen, to create a limited government to secure for them and posterity their God-given rights to life, liberty, and property. Such liberty, they believed, rested on three great supports.
Wow, it's like really far out, you know, with George, did you? Look, he picks up on these really far-out things, you know? You know, like the fact that, like, we're ripping off all this copper, you know, from Bolivia, you know, for our stereos. And, like, you know, like the blacks, you know? Like, how we're, like, really just ripping them off, too.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he picks up on these things that are just so far away, man. And, like, Bangladesh, you know, like, he did this whole trip with these starving kids, you know? And it was, man, it was, like, far out because, like we're not only, like, ripping off those people, but, like, you know, there's people in Japan, you know? Like, that's where the plastic comes from for the albums.
Yeah,
man,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
He's far out, man. He's,
I mean, he spreads himself so thickly over our earth, you know?
So beautiful the way he does all this great.
They were the natural law and unalienable natural rights granted by the Creator. A written constitution to assure a government of laws, not of rulers, and, dear listeners, virtue among the people. Virtue among the people, the best defense against tyranny. Then their own words. Their own words, if you listen to them, are eloquent reminders of their devotion to this belief. I quote, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. It is substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government." End quote. George Washington said that in his farewell address, the same address where he warned us against foreign entanglements. Quote, "We may look up to armies for our defense, but virtue is our best security. It is not possible that any state should long remain free where virtue is not supremely honored." Samuel Adams said that.
You're dazed, bewildered, trapped in a world without time, where sound collides with color and shadows explode. Yet this is no science fiction adventure. This is the real life, everyday world of a pothead. Pot, grass, weed, marijuana. It all means the same thing. You smoke it and you get high. Maybe you smoke it because it's the in thing and you want to be with it. Maybe you're rebelling against your parents, or maybe you're just looking for kicks. Whatever the reason, ask yourself this. Is it worth the risk? All the facts aren't in on marijuana, but here's one that is. A recent study at Duke University showed that prolonged use of marijuana can result in a permanent loss of hearing. So the next time someone hands you a joint, maybe you won't just get stoned. Maybe you'll get stoned deaf.
Quote, "Virtue must underlay all institutional arrangements if they are to be healthy and strong. The principles of democracy are as easily destroyed as human nature is corrupted." End quote. John Adams. In my life, I've come to realize that evil emanates from the hearts of men and from nowhere else, ladies and gentlemen. You may attribute it to whatever you wish. If there is a forest where evil exists and you take man out of that forest, and I'm not talking environmentalism, I'm talking about a location where evil exists. If you take man out of that forest, there will be no evil. How many of you have discovered this in your life? How many of you understand exactly what that means? How can we entrust to men supreme power over us as a government granting rights to us when they have this very same evil within their hearts that they struggle with on a daily basis? Most men, if confronted with enough temptation, always succumb. And I say most men. Or I have seen a very, very, very few who will not. But I can count them on one hand, and generally on two fingers, that I've known in my entire life. So how, ladies and gentlemen, could we ever entrust such power to anyone? That is why we were appointed by our founders as the watchdogs of the government, of, for, and by the people. And what what has happened to us.
Hey, man, you know, if we got this thing together, you know, everybody started buying albums, man, we could probably get rid of Nixon and his whole pig trip, man. We could get somebody in there, man, like...
Oh, that would be really crap, you know? That'd like, be incredible.
That'd be great. I mean, like, you know...
We could get Robbie Robertson, you know, to be Secretary of War, you know? That would be so fun.
Yeah, make everybody wear undershirts, though, man.
I know, but you could, you know, the hidden...
I know, man, like, people like Garcia, like Jerry Garcia, like, and have him, like, you know, head of giving out downs, man, you know?
Or, you know, Phil Spector, you know? He could, I don't know, he could lower the net.
Lower the net? That sounds okay.
Somebody has to, you know.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Alexis de Tocqueville, the French statesman who traveled across America in the 1830s and wrote a two-volume study entitled Democracy in America, is widely quoted as observing, quote, America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. End quote. Heard every night across this nation. What does it mean? Where does it come from? How have we sunk to such depths? And why is it that most people don't even know the depths to which we have sunk? Quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And then later that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, end quote. Our Declaration of Independence acknowledges a Creator as the source of the unalienable rights that governments are formed to secure. This acknowledgement was the very foundation of the Constitution of the United States of America. Indeed, it was the foundation of the Declaration of Independence which first stated this principle. What are those unalienable rights with which we are endowed? They may be described in many ways, but the English jurist Sir William Blackstone wrote in 1766, and I quote, these may be reduced to three principal articles. One, the right of personal security or life. Two, the right of personal liberty. And three, the right of private property, end quote. America's written constitution was to protect and secure God-given individual rights to life, liberty, and property. What is going on? These are being taken away from us by the institution, the government, which we set into place to protect those Creator-endowed rights. If we ever allow this foundation to be eroded and lose faith that these rights are a gift directly from God to each individual, then, dear listeners, we lose the basis of the greatness of the miracle. That is, America. You see, the ultimate source of these principles and ideals, the ultimate source that is embodied in the Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights, is the natural law. Sir William Blackstone, the same eminent English jurist, also said this, quote, man must necessarily be subject to the laws of his Creator. This will of his Maker is called the law of nature. And this law of nature is, of course, superior to any other. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this, and such of them as are valid derive all their force from this original law. End quote. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this brief pause.
the spangled dwarf in his bow tie. The infantry that don't ask why.
Hi, I'm Bob Dylan. Remember those fabulous 60s? The marches, the bands, the draft card burnings, and best of all, the music. Well, now Apple House has collected the finest of those songs on one album called Golden Protest, performed by the original artists who made them famous. You'll thrill to Society's Child by Janis Ian, Pleasant Valley Sunday by the Monkees, What Have They Done to the Rain by the Searchers, In the Ghetto by Elvis Presley, Silent Night, 7 O'Clock News by Simon and Garfunkel, and who can ever forget this all-time classic? Yes, Barry Maguire's immortal Eve of Destruction. And, of course, my own Masters of War, all for the incredibly low price of $3.95. And if you order now, you'll also receive a treasury of acid rock featuring Vanilla Fudge, Blue Cheer, Frigid Pink, Moby Grape, The Electric Prunes, Jefferson Airplane, Lotharian Hand People, to name but a few. Plus, as part of this special limited offer, you also get the best of the supergroups with Traffic, Cream, Blind Faith, Ginger Baker's Air Force, and many, many others. Yes, this is a collector's dream, Golden Protest, plus two fabulous 60s albums, all for only $3.95. If you were to purchase these selections separately, they'd cost you hundreds of dollars, and many cannot be found anywhere at any price. Well, it's time for my boot heels to be wandering. But here's something that'll tell you how you can get this amazing record package.
Here's how to order this amazing record package. Just send $3.95 and check your money order plus your name and address to Apple House Box 70K, South Bend, Indiana. Once again, that's $3.95 and check your money to Apple House Box 70K. Do it today.
The founders, ladies and gentlemen, did not establish the Constitution for the purpose of granting rights. They established this government of laws. Not a government of men, in order to secure each person's creator-endowed rights to life, liberty, and property. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back after this very short pause.
Voice of the people must be heard at all times.
Sorry, boy, this caucus is for us Caucasians.
You know how Musty got all those holes in his forehead? Learned to eat with a fork.
How about you and me going for a little spin?
Nomination for the presidency of these United States.
And now, Banana Heritage Productions presents How Democracy Works, number 43, The Miracle of Free Elections. Free elections depend upon a free people. From the earliest stages, the voice of the people must be heard at all times.
Sorry, boy, this caucus is for us Caucasians.
You know how Musty got all those holes in his forehead? Learned to eat with a fork.
How about you and me going for a little spin?
Nomination for the presidency of these United States, a 1973 avocado green Pontiac GTO.
Representative of all the people, responds to the will of the other people.
Those cynical manipulators of all that's best in America. Henry, what won't they stoop to?
Listen, Dumplink, thank God it wasn't an imperial. You wouldn't stand a chance.
Well, what should I do to combat this infamy? Develop a fender, grow a grill.
Be yourself, Cookie. I got the plot.
And across the nation, the voice of the people responds to the will of the people.
I'll vote for the Pontiac every time. This baby's got 350 horses under the hood. You need that extra power on today's highways.
Anything but Nixon, man. A blender. Anything.
Modern technology can record the voice of the people with the utmost precision.
Pontiac, 38%. Nixon, 41%. Go get him, Pontiac.
Enabling those in power to remain faithful to their oath of office.
Now, many of you may wonder why, in announcing our withdrawal from Southeast Asia and the legalization of marijuana, I am wearing these ludicrous headlamps on my ears. Well, let me explain.
The will of the people demands the frank exchange of opinion.
Mr. Candidate, perhaps you'd give the panel some idea of your general approach.
boy, can that baby hang in there on the corner?
Well, I'd just like to say, Harry, that in the accelerating times in which we live, we must not change lanes in crowded traffic.
How many miles should you get to the gallon?
Oh, 20, 22 on a long haul.
But rather negotiate the
just
tricky
think,
curves of the future.
If only Kennedy had been a Continental, he'd still be with us.
And if only Roosevelt had been a wheelchair.
The will of the people is clear. Adjustments must be made.
I'm sorry, Spiro. It's the will of the people.
That's right, boss. Spiro, he dance no more on the heads of punks. But tell Spiro one thing, boss, before he waddle off into sunset. Who is new Spiro?
Well, this is hard, old friend, but a truck. A four-axle Mack semi.
That's good, boss. A truck, he dance good on the heads of punks.
In the heat of an election year, however, mere adjustments are not enough.
Pontiac, 764%. Nixon, sip.
Yes, the will of the people is a cruel mistress. Yet it is in the darkest hour that she teaches her most lasting lesson.
Why do they hate me? I only want to be president.
Blinding.
Ja, Herr Doktor.
Ziegler.
Ja, Herr Doktor.
Klein.
Ja, Herr Doktor.
Nofziger.
Ja, Herr Doktor.
This the seventh crisis is. Something hot we got to plot. Think.
Think. Think. Think.
Shut up! Me, I say he's got to be a fridge. Give the dummies a clear choice.
Nein, sir.
I have to reach electric knife to the top his way, Hex. Yeah?
Nein, sir.
This was all about. Get the Frau line, nein?
Nein, so.
Bismarck, fridge would be.
Wait. Couldn't I just be a car, too?
Wait. What if a lot of cars he is? Rolls Grill, Caddy Fender, Imperial White Walls.
One of them pimp cars he'd look like.
So? And so, through the will of the people, the representative of all the people is transformed from a representative of none of the people into a representative of some of the people. Democracy at work.
Someone's coming. Someone good. Someone rugged. Someone smooth. Someone long, sleek, exciting, powerful. Someone you can slip into as easily as he slips into you. The all-new 1973 Nixon GOP. You want a president with breakthrough thrust. A president who won't boil over when the heat's on. Above all, a president who starts first time in a Cold War. Try the 1973 Nixon. He grips the road to prosperity like a tiger. And he breaks, just like a little demon. Join the generation of peace with Nixon. He's all yours.
The preceding was a political announcement paid for by the Nixon Mack Campaign Committee.
The voice of the people is heard once more.
Don't believe it, man. He'll do anything, anything.
With the will of the people duly satisfied, the race for the highest office in the land, not a prize but a privilege, enters its final lap.
Here in tiny Buena Vista, California, the Democratic candidate took a definite stand on the busing issue today by forcing seven school buses into a multiple accident. From all over the nation have come congratulations and pledges of support.
Hose those kids off the road, will you? You're holding up traffic.
In other dramatic developments, the president appointed a Buick to the Supreme Court, announced plans for a summit meeting with a Zopsk limousine, and pledged the vote to all auto Americans. Mr. Nixon himself cruised down to Lot David for a $100 a tank fill-up, accompanied by Mrs. Nixon, now a Chevy Nova, and the seven White House Volkswagens.
And so the election reaches a fitting climax.
Once more, folks, is the last-minute entry into the Demo Derby. Governor Wallace of Alabama is a 1958 Dodge pickup. And all three contestants are hurtling around this tiny figure eight of doom and destruction. The president narrowly misses the Pontiac, and the Pontiac in the pickup. The president comes around again, and rear-ends the Pontiac. He's got that extra length, that extra strength, and he rear-ends Wallace, and he tears the Nova barn again and again and again. Yes, folks, it looks like Nixon in 72!
And so, through the miracle of free elections, history is made once more.
Do you, Richard Nixon, engine number 5286A76, swear to uphold the oath of office of the President of these United States?
Beep, beep.
The will of the people triumphs.
bestowing upon the choice of some of the people the trust of all of the people, thus guiding the greatest democracy on earth safely down the highway of fortune.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Man has been subjected by his Creator to the moral law, of which his feelings are conscience, as it is sometimes called, are the evidence with which his Creator has furnished him the moral duties which exist between individual and individual in a state of nature, accompany them into a state of society, their Maker not having released them from those duties on their forming themselves into a nation." End quote.
I feel totally different, absolutely different. You know, I bet Alan, you know, Klein felt different too.
Yeah, like it makes you feel all warm inside. I mean, wow, like all of a sudden I bought this album, you know, to help like these poor people, man, in Bangladesh, and I felt better. I started feeling like all this warmth inside me, like
yeah.
I was back in like Big Sur, you know.
I mean, you know, we fasted, you know, at school for a day, you know, actually, you know, two periods, you know, lunch,
yeah.
I, you know, but you know, it was really far out, you know, fasting is so far out.
James Madison wrote, quote, "The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny," end quote.
If dope smoking doesn't damage your brain, then how come so many teeny boppers think Cheech and Chong are funny?
Hi, I'm Frank Rizzo, asking you to give generously to help support the Philadelphia Police League for Retarded Children. This is the worthy organization that gives a retarded child the opportunity to become a policeman. Founded in 1844, the league provides training in every aspect of crime prevention, from tying one's own shoelace to lying under oath. Many of the youngsters aided by the league have risen to high position in law enforcement. In fact, all of us have. So please help us to rid the streets of morons, psychopaths, and mental defectives and put them where they belong, on the force.
An enlightened, committed people who understand the principles of our Constitution are the most effective means of preserving liberty. James Madison said this, and I quote, "Although all men are born free, slavery has been the general lot of the human race. Ignorant, they have been cheated. Asleep, they have been surprised. Divided, the yoke has been forced upon them. But what is the lesson? The people ought to be enlightened, to be awakened, to be united, that after establishing a government, they should watch over it. It is universally admitted that a well-instructed people alone can be permanently free." End quote.
And now, Her Nibs.
Prison walls from dawn to dusk.
Amendment 1 to the Constitution of the United States of America, and I quote, in part, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, end quote. It is the pillar and support of America's Constitution. Thomas Jefferson said, quote, in matters of religion, I have considered that its free exercise is placed by the Constitution independent of the power of the general government, end quote. This government was established as a secular entity to protect the religious freedom of all peoples to practice whatever religion they wished to practice. It was never founded as a Christian state or any other religious state. For the only thing that guarantees that you will not be persecuted in the prosecution of your religion is that the state not have any interest in any religion. So don't believe all of the bullshit that you've been hearing about this being a Christian nation. It protects Christians. It protects Buddhists. It protects Satanists equally. And without that protection, no religious belief, no church, no religious person would be safe from persecution. And in fact, the old Inquisition and burnings at the stake would soon return.
The far out thing is, though, that album, man, is like more than your record, if you know what I'm hinting at, you know?
Oh, have you done that, man?
You expect to get your wax, you know. You got your stacks of wax, man, but you don't expect to get high in the bargain, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, I put my tongue in the hole, you know.
Yeah, what
and
happened,
you spin
man?
It, man. Well, it hurts, you know, but the pain is so out of sight, you know.
Light your faith, and you can light the world. Set fire to the church of your choice.
In the first inaugural address of Thomas Jefferson, he said this, quote, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none, end quote. It's an essential part of the founder's formula for peace and prosperity. We must be free from foreign entanglements. Yet whenever we wish to get involved somewhere, a reason is often created to do so.
George,
yes.
George, set aside time to take up a collection for the bummed orphanage.
What bummed orphanage?
That one.
And of course, in the breakdown of moral values, the breakdown of our strength, our traditions, and the breakdown of the very fabric of the nation, people everywhere are posing this question.
What can you expect from a God who crucified his own son?
And how can you answer that? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to answer except that in the Christian religion, the Son was the God. The problem that exists in this country is we've gotten away so far, far away from our founding principles that there are those who believe that we must bring about a world totalitarian socialist government to feed the poor, to control the crime, to stop the drugs, to prevent Christians from shoving their religion down everybody else's throat, and to prevent Muslims from shoving their religion down everybody's throat, and to prevent atheists from bombing all of the churches of the people who want to practice their religion that are trying to say that the atheist is wrong. This country was built upon the premise that all men are created equal. It doesn't mean that they remain equal all of their life. What it means is that they're created equal. They all have the same opportunities, but above that, above all, that we are endowed with certain unalienable rights that give us the freedom to do and practice and have and own and say what we wish whenever we wish, as long as we do not take away from the freedoms of anyone else. And getting away from that premise and trusting imperfect man to represent us and do the right thing without being watched over is what is destroying this nation. We are at fault, ladies and gentlemen, no one else. And on this, the 118th birthday of the...
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.